Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. It is Saturday morning. Holy smoke. What a concept. It is another day and another lifetime, for sure. I hope this broadcast is finding everybody in a good space and adjusting to the fact that it's a lot quieter around your house, I'm sure, outside anyway. Inside maybe a little bit noisy. And starting to sink in as far as just creating some sort of a routine. People have been, taking walks. I can see people outside taking walks and still doing it, hopefully, in a safe way. I appreciate all the feedback I've gotten the last couple of days from all of you out there. It means a lot to me that some people are listening and being informed on some things that I'm rattling on about. But, this is what I'm doing now, and I've been doing it for a long time, but back on the air. It's episode 14 today. 14 days, 2 weeks. Wow, it's hard to imagine because it sure doesn't feel like that. All right, a couple of different things I want to talk about, but I have a little beef and I want to talk about this and I'd like to get some feedback on this. I got a ding this morning in my email, and it was from Amazon, and I'm going, see what they have to say. I open it up, and it's advertising what they're calling a coronavirus prevention handbook. They're actually selling a prevention handbook and for $1.99. I read this, and I saw this, and I literally, it just changed my whole flow of what I was wanting to start the show with today and do, but I just have to make a statement about it. Number one, the information is hopefully incredibly helpful and will save some lives. Hopefully many lives, and will give us some food and idea for thought as to, maintaining our distances, dealing with, sanitation, keeping things clean, and maybe even have something to do with our diets. But the idea that Jeff Bezos and Amazon is actually going to charge money for something like this is, to me, appalling, even though it's $2 or if it's 50 cents. If I know that $1.99 is going to some sort of a fund that I can have access to and see, how that money is being used, if it's a fund for food service workers, people who are essential workers out there, as I speak right now in the comfort of my little studio, when people are out there having to go to work and economically, but also because the ones that are also there, they're not there just for the economics, they're there because they want to help people. And they want to continue as life as normal. So all I can say about it is Mr. Bezos and Amazon.com. And, I'm not using my show as any kind of political theater, at least not at this point. But I had to mention it, folks. I don't know what you feel about that. But for $1.99, okay, mostly everybody could probably do that. And the book would be useful. But can you at least designate that fund and that income to people who really need help right now? Because it's almost the end of the month, and I know there's a lot of people that are wondering where they're going to live in a week from now, and that's all I'm going to say about it. I'm going to, do some communication on this today because I just, found out about it about an hour and a half ago, and I'm going to start putting some things up and hoping that they'll use that money for something that will really people's lives around relief and stress, something. All right, I went on about this for 4 minutes, didn't want to do it. First thing on my list besides that right now is I'm calling it the elder check, and I'm not talking about a form of currency directed towards elders. I'm talking about if you live in a neighborhood, and there's two things that are happening. People are posting ideas and thoughts about, strangers that they might see in their neighborhood, and we've had some not great things going on, according to some of the reports that I've read of, just people wandering around, possibly looking at, across the street in people's windows, that sort of creepy stuff. That being said, if you are, you know, if you see something like that, of course, you know, put a red flag up, you know, call the police, whatever, you know, and remember that unless it's really something serious, the police are overstressed at this point too. But what I'm saying about it is that don't let stuff like that prevent you from maybe going outside and looking around and seeing, you know, maybe how your neighbors might be doing. And what I'm saying is you're not going to just go across the street and knock on somebody's door, because people are going to be a little scared to open it because the select few that are creating a little bit of havoc in neighborhoods. So don't be put off. Look out the window and see who it is. And secondly, if somebody has you know, if you have a neighbor or somebody and you have their phone number, you can always call and say, hey, look, I wanted to stop by for a minute and I'll stand on the curb and just see how you're doing. Elder check. If you know people in your neighborhood, seniors that you've seen around and might know not much about them, but just wondering and making sure that they're okay, I'd like you to concentrate on that today if you have a few minutes to just even just check on one person, if everybody checks on one or two people, to make sure that they're okay, to make sure that they're they have, you know, a meal today, what they might need. It really will make a difference. In the old days, it's just like community neighborhood. And I guess I mentioned the, you know, police type incidents just because I don't want people to be afraid to go out and try to help and connect with other people. And the people that are hoping to be connected with and need the help, try not to try, you know, be safe, but don't immediately not answer, or, you know, look at your window, see who might be there, ask who's there. Most people are not going to come to your door and stand right there. They may knock on the door and walk back. So you should be able to get some sort of a view through your peephole or your window. But this help, we're not used to it in this society sometimes as much. And people really want to do goodwill and make sure you're okay. Elder check. And part of the idea of the neighborhood watch, so to speak, and try to eliminate fears. Just be safe. And I'm giving you information that you probably already know, but I'm hoping that maybe it would help a little bit. I want to thank some of the menu and food pictures that people have been sending of some of the great meals that they're creating at home, and we'll try to pass that out on to others so that you can get some, you know, feedback, and also other people can try your incredible chef's creations. Happy to report that there are meal programs that are starting to come up, and the school districts are providing pickup, curb pickup for lunches still over the weekend for kids that need a meal. A lot of the restaurants are still providing delivery and takeout, though some of them are closing. And they're closing just mainly for protection of employees and the public. Nothing wrong with the takeout or the delivery. For all intents and purposes, very safe. But some restaurants are feeling the crunch or the pressure and wanting to respect the stay-at-home order and asking, you know, different co-owners what to do. And some people are hanging in there, thank goodness, but some people have decided to temporarily shut the doors. The positive part of that, really more than anything else, is that they're just trying to create a safe distance. And also, I'm happy to hear about some of the restaurants that are, when they're doing that, they're trying to freeze as much of their inventory as possible, but also divide some of the fresh stuff up to, you know, people who are the employees and maybe some customers that might be in need. It's just that goodwill is just continuing all over the place, and it's so important. And the stories of that are the most important, I think, just to hear, you know, something great about something that's doing some, you know, to somebody else. There's a company that's analyzing the social distance numbers to see how residents in each country or state are changing their movement, you know, based on, you know, walking or distance traveled and that sort of thing. Washington had a 28% change in the average mobility, meaning 28% of the people out there are have changed what they normally do. That might be commuting to and from work or maybe making extra trips to the store. That is, you know, that is basically not an incredible number, just based on these polls, which most of them, you know, are fairly good mathematical numbers. They're saying that about a quarter of Washington residents right now are really adhering to the social distancing. And what that really matters more, you know, what it matters more than anything else is, you know, you can't, it's not like these polls are going to every single household or calling every single household, but we know that we've gotten some notifications and talking about, you know, groups of kids that are, you know, you're still seeing the kids pal together. I haven't seen it much, you know, lately, the last couple of days, but other people who live maybe closer to parks and recreational sites are seeing that. And again, excuse me, for people that are listening, you know, if you have young kids, you can pass that information on to maybe other parents that you know and make sure that people are adhering to that. I think that's where the number changes. I think the number, you know, of people that are trying very hard to, you know, be really, really careful is increasing, but it's the younger population that are, you know, a little bit lagging behind. And so basically just keep it up, just keep spreading the word. And what one encouraging thing is a new number is appearing just as they talk, and that number has jumped from 28% to 41%, which is great. That means people are listening and doing that. Another question I had is people wanted to know about, again, about do I have to clean my groceries at home? And there is no, supposedly no hard evidence of, you know, this awful thing being transmitted through food. But that said, I would say there's sort of a method to this, and I would say it makes sense. People are saying still throw out the bags that you're getting, you know, putting your groceries, just get them out, and then wipe down your counters and, of course, your hands to be safe. And then go through each item that you buy carefully with a sanitary cloth and try to wipe everything down. If you wear gloves, that's a really good idea as well, just to take a chance. And some people have even went as far as putting a face mask on it. So I don't think it hurts to basically, you know, wipe everything down as best as possible, and then your counters afterwards. You know, I'm not going to get into how hard that is and how much work it is. Let's just be safe. It's just another option to just take care of the things that are just right in front of us that we can deal with really easily. And I really feel it's not that big of a deal. You can actually take a minute to do it. So that's what I'm thinking. As far as that's concerned, and it really, really, really will make a difference. Again, I want to put the other urge out to everybody about masks and gloves. I know I talked about this the other day, and we have a lot of construction companies right now that are put on hold, and thank goodness for that. I think it makes sense, and there are, you know, lots of warehouses that where certain companies have stockpiled for their own safety, you know, face masks, painters, that sort of thing, construction workers, as well as rubber, you know, gloves, disposable gloves. So I'm asking everybody to, if you know somebody that has a construction company and you know what, you know, what they might have in their inventory, you could find out if companies or people would be willing to donate the masks and the gloves. And if that is the case, I would probably call and write to the city, you know, the health department in your local city is one concept, or possibly one of the local hospitals, to let them know that this is John Doe from Acme Construction Company, and we're closed down for the next 4 weeks, but we do have an overstock and a bunch of masks and gloves that we'd like to donate. It would be incredibly helpful, because it's just it's one of the scariest parts of the health workers right now. They're running out of gloves and they're running out of masks. So it's just something to think about. It might be really, really helpful to take that, you know, take that step. And it would certainly be helpful for somebody who is going to work every day not knowing whether they're going to have the equipment necessary to do the kind of work that they need to do. And obviously, we all know that the numbers are increasing and places are getting fuller and fuller. And that is something I'm spending some time on, again, just to let people know how much it would help. I can't wait to we get to the point on the show again where I'll be able to do more food stuff and more interesting stuff that, you know, will, when I say stuff, I'm talking about, you know, suggestions and things that are, we can take a break from some of the health warnings, et cetera, mainly because we know them and we understand them. And we can have a little bit of normalcy, whatever that word means, in this radio broadcast. I wanted to just say also that at this point in time, which is really good news, we've installed the software and to expand the broadcast. And that means that starting tomorrow, we will do actually two shows a day. And I'll announce the times probably sometime today. And there is going to be a single show this evening as well, and that'll be at 9 o'clock tonight. And that'll be sort of a review of some of the things that have happened over the last almost 15 days. But starting tomorrow, we'll have two shows a day. Exciting. Also, we've expanded our switchboard. So now we'll be able to take up to 10 callers at once on the broadcast, and that's going to make it possible to have an open discussion with, you know, a group of different people, and I'm excited about that. We'll probably go from a basic outline and be able to go back and forth. If you have any suggestions of things that you might be wanting to do as part of the broadcast, I will give you that number, hopefully before the end of the broadcast, or I'll post it on Facebook. So that's exciting. Also, the sound quality is starting to get a little bit better, and by probably tomorrow's broadcast, we'll be back to our regular studio microphones, and that's why if you think it sounds a little tinny, just because this broadcast had been on hold for several months, we had to restructure the studio back to making it mainly a broadcast studio, which I'm really excited about. There's more things I'll announce as far as the show. They'll have video segments happening as well starting soon, and some live video segments. So I'm excited about that. And we'll do some remote guests. Obviously, we're not going to be having different people come through the studio, but we will have them available via Skype from their own house. All right. I wanted to bring Rhonda Ian. She's right here right now. And happy that she's here. Miss Rhonda, are you with us?
I'm here.
Hello, Rhonda. Here she is.
Hello, how are you?
How are you doing today? Hey, well, we're just rolling along. Thanks for asking. We're just rolling along here on the broadcast. Just had to make some announcements and go over some different things. So how's your day going so far?
Just starting the early morning, letting the dogs out, and kind of a little overcasty, but just starting my morning out. How about you?
My morning's just going great. Just on the air doing the show, and I've been basically talking about, pardon me, hang on 1 second. Hey, Rhonda, say something while I clear my throat.
Oh, this morning I just was reading kind of a really neat quote by Mother Teresa. If any of you have ever followed anything Mother Teresa did, she kind of put her hands on all kinds of situations maybe none of us have. And one quote that she had that was really good this morning is, spread love everywhere you go. Let no one ever come to you without leaving happier. I thought that was really cool just to hear those kinds of words, you know, just a, you know, something that is encouraging to encourage each and every one of us, you know, as we're going through this hardship. The other one I have is from C.S. Lewis. If anybody of you read C.S. Lewis books, hardships often prepare ordinary people for extraordinary destinies. I thought that was pretty cool, just because it's kind of like we're in a place right now where it's like we don't know what's going to happen, but what could come out of something that's so huge and hard and difficult and trying and emotional for sure for all of us, and fear-based at times can happen too. But what can come out of a storm and what can come out of a crisis can come great things as well. So I thought that was really good, something that encouraged me. Hopefully that will encourage you. And then here's another one I have. It says, don't quit yet. The worst moments are usually followed by the most silver linings. You just have to stay strong. Remember to keep your head up and remain hopeful. Hopeful is the word today I have, in the middle of the storm again. A lot of news. A lot of stuff going on, a lot of things that our families and all our family dynamics are different. A lot of things going on in the economy, a lot of things going on in our communities and around the entire world. I also wanted to say, too, for all the things that everybody's focusing on social media, with, you know, the things happening with individuals and people, you know, that are affected and could possibly have died from this ordeal, there are also other people that are also coming out of it. So just to let you know, the doctors and nurses are doing the very best, and I've seen stuff that I've just been very excited about to see that some people are definitely pushing through this. They're fighting through this. So it's not just about focusing on something that could end your life or take your life. It's also about protecting life, as we're all doing, as we're gathering in our common ground to keep each other safe and make good choices, as our leaders are asking us to. But it's also that in the middle of that, that those that are working so hard to help our loved ones, maybe ones you can't see, there's also people that are recovering from this as well. So if we can focus on the positive, believe and have hope in the midst of it, and hang on to some treasured words we've been given by people that have also before our lifetime. That's kind of what I'd like to share this morning.
That's beautiful. That's exactly what I need to see here. Thank you very much. You know, that's really true. It's there are people that are surviving this. There are people that have that have gotten sick, and they're done the isolation and then some different care, and they're coming back and they're coming through it. So I think you're right. We have to focus on the hope. We have to focus on the good stuff. You know, we know that in reality, in war, which I guess this is considered a war, that we're going to lose people, but then hopefully we're going to have people that are going to survive and make it through to give all of the rest of us hope, you know? I think it's
the one thing I got to so it's really good too, is just when you think about it, you think about people you run into in life, maybe it's your grandparents, maybe it's your mom and dad, you know, maybe it's just history at school that you're learning, or maybe there's some book or whatever you've read by somebody's life and it's really encouraged you and you're honing into, you know, these accomplishments and dreams that you have. The one thing is I've never met a strong person with an easy past, never met a strong person an easy moment. So we're in the moment. We're not necessarily in the past, but we can identify by our reading, our education, our understanding, enlightenment from what we honor even today for our freedoms, our rights. People have gone through hardships, but in that hardship and everything we can learn is that you never meet somebody in this life that has not come out of something. So this can only make us stronger if we allow it to.
It's interesting. While you were saying that, I was thinking, well, okay, so today if you get hopeful and you get strong, tomorrow you can actually look back and say, wow, yesterday I was strong, I was hopeful. You know, in other words, we have, an incredible opportunity right now, like you said, to grow and to create history within our goodwill within ourselves on a daily basis. And that's pretty exciting, actually. To be able to have a chance to do better just by what we do today, you know.
Well, I think the key is, too, and I know you're coming to your close of your show here pretty soon. I think the key is, too, is, you know, just that key word is hope for today. So the other is love. Love, love, love. I mean, this is not a time to devour each other. This is a time to hone in and say, wow, what is our world? What does this give us an opportunity to do? Not to go down to the grocery store or to the gas stations and find a worker crying with tears because of the way that the treatment they feel in the midst of the crisis. Come on, people. We're all in this together. And in that whole priority and responsibility we have and character of a person, I hope we can find ourselves trying to grace each other and love each other through this and not allow that fear and emotional response take over.
Wow. That's such so well said. I think that love every minute of every day, because it's incredibly powerful, especially when it's shared with each other, you know. And Yeah, I really believe in it. Well, one of the things that I talked about really briefly before you got on the air was just neighborhood checking on our elders and people in our, you know, that we know, and making sure they're okay and not taking anything for granted. So I just encourage people to call people that they know that might be either by themselves or in a higher age group category, which are, you know, sadly the most vulnerable, and just make sure people are okay and have what they need. And don't maybe just do that at least today, once a day, a couple of times a day, and it'll make a really huge difference to keep that communication open, you know. And don't believe everything that you read. Don't believe every single, you know, piece of thing that's put up on Facebook or on the news. Just, you know, look at it, analyze it a little bit, give yourself a minute, like Rhonda would say, a pause, to ingest it and understand it before we judge it. And I think it's really important. Anyway, that's about where our day's at today. It's a weekend. It's Saturday. Think of it in terms of working all week. And today we have the day off, so to speak. So maybe everybody do a little bit of something fun today, whatever that fun thing is. I think that would be a really, really good idea. You can send some cookies if you want to. Go ahead.
The other thing is to just encourage everybody too. This is an opportunity to give. I see a lot of great people out there trying to give and do for other people. I know we're keeping our social distance, but we also have the ability to give in ways that we can. One way that I know that you can give if you want to is in the communities of food banks and places like that. There's information out there that's coming through. I'm sure most of you are hearing that too. You know, anything that we see that is an opportunity for us to give, if we have that in our storehouse, or that ability to offer a hand to somebody and being able to do something for them, obviously with responsibility in mind, taking all measures to keep each other safe. But giving is also the key. You can never outgive. So just think about ways that you can help your community, help your neighborhood, or help your family, whatever, and be a giver. In this is an opportunity to be a giver.
Well said. And, you know, that's what I'm talking about. It's one act of kindness. It'll go a long way right now. All right. Well, thank you for listening and tuning in. Let me just give you a little bit of information. You can write me, continue to write and post, you know, to me at Chef Stuarto. That's C-H-E-F as in Frank, S as in Sam, T-U-A-R-T-O at hotmail.com. Send us send Rhonda and I messages that way. Send links if you found something funny to see online, something that might give us a little giggle, some food idea, or some, you know. I discovered a new guy who's one of my new food eating heroes, though. The reason I like him so much is he's incredibly kind about every kind of food he's ingesting. I'll tell you more about that tomorrow, but I think it's worth a watch. It might give you a little break and something to really laugh about. I say stay safe, pray, laugh, love. What do you say, Rhonda E?
Just continue to be a light, you know, continue to shine bright. Don't let the dark and all the bad stuff take you down. Rise up. You know that song that we hear, I will rise up. Rise up and be unafraid and rise up, you know, and love each other through it. That's what we can do. We can rise up again by being better people through it.
I'm with you on that 100%. Thank you, Rhonda E. Thank you, everybody that's listening. We'll see you tomorrow.